Ray Shows is the first violinist of Ataria String Quartet, a string Twin Cities based ensemble.
Good morning.
The group centers on two missions, performance and education. This week, the group will have several chances to support both of those missions. A prestigious Chamber Music America grant brings the group to the Rice Center in Grand Rapids for a residency. We're joined now by Ray Shows and Katie Bennis.
Correct.
Bennis? It's Bennis. Hi, Katie Bennis.
Hi.
Of the Rife Center. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Tell us about the residency.
Well, Artaria is delighted to be back for the second time this year to work in the school systems and area nursing homes and libraries and even a capstone event at the ICC.
Yep.
And we're going to be performing and teaching and inspiring your young people around here.
Oh, I wish my young kids were over in that neck of the woods. I got a few string players in my house, and they happen to like chamber music a lot. Tell me what is special about chamber music as opposed to working solo or in an orchestra.
Well, chamber music fills that gap between being all alone out there on the stage and being surrounded by lots and lots and lots of people. Although I should say, it really crossovers really well with the ability to be an individual, high levels of creativity, but the level of accountability that is required in chamber music goes right to the top because you have one person to a part. So we really encourage individuals to be individuals, but work within a team. We work within a setting that is a team-oriented.
Yeah, there's no hiding behind, first cellist or violinist next to you, I suppose, huh?
Right.
You got to have your part down.
You do.
What I learned recently, which was kind of cool, because we were in the instrument purchasing phase for the first time for my kids. We've been renting instruments. Is that, and maybe Maggie doesn't know this, but some cellos or violins or violas are good in an orchestra, and some of them are good in a chamber music setting, and they don't always cross over.
That's true. Generally, an orchestral setting, conductors and the administration looking for hiring players who are looking for instruments that project and have an incredible projection and power. Not to say that you don't need that in a chamber ensemble, but the prize in a chamber ensemble is more in the tonal colors and the complexity of color in the sound of the instruments. That's what's valued in a string quartet especially. And we match instruments. Recently, our cellist purchased a new instrument, a beautiful cello. She had a beautiful one before, but she basically upgraded to an even more beautiful cello. But the instrument colors changed rather dramatically. And we were playing a piece that we had recorded. I think you just played it on the radio, the Dvorak American. And we were playing it, and we immediately noticed the differences of things we had to adjust as we performed just because the new instrument joined the group.
Huh. We're speaking with Ray Shows and Katie Bennis, and Ray is the first violinist of the Artaria String Quartet. Ray, what is the role of the first violinist in a chamber ensemble?
To get up really early on a Monday. No, I'm just kidding. generally, the first violinist is considered the leader of the group, but I have three other wonderful ladies that keep me in line and make sure that my leadership is going in the right direction, shall we say. I'm basically the spokesman. I'm also the founding member of the group 30 years ago. So that gives me a little bit more perspective, let's say, than someone who's only been in the group 12 years or something like that.
And let's bring Katie into the conversation.
Absolutely.
A bit. Katie Bennis, yeah, tell us about the residency. What are some of the performances and workshops that are going to happen this week?
Well, first of all, we're just really excited about this residency. The grant we received from Chamber Music America, which is an organization out of New York, this is a really competitive grant process, and we worked extensively with Artaria Quartet and also some of our local partners, including the Itasca Orchestra and Strings Program, to secure this grant. So it's a really special opportunity. Like Ray said, they were here once before already this year in January for 3 days, and they're back again. this time in March, they'll be doing a little bit more of public performance so people on the street can access them and find them in different places. Today, they will be at Grand Itasca Clinic and Hospital around the lunch hour playing in the cafeteria. So if you're looking for some nice lunch music, you can run over there and get something to eat. They'll also be performing later this afternoon at the Grand Rapids Public Library. And tomorrow, they'll be in the YMCA's Active Living Center. Active Living Center. I always want to say Learning Center. And then, of course, on Thursday, they'll have their public performance at Chucker Auditorium at Itasca Community College, and that is at 7:30. One thing that's very special about that concert is over the 6 days in January and March that Artaria has been here, they've been tutoring student chamber ensembles from the Itasca Orchestra and Strings program, and some of those students will have an opportunity to perform on the stage with Artaria that evening, so Thursday evening. And we have some incredibly talented students. They will just they will add a great deal to this concert.
If I can jump in here,
please.
We're going to have seven groups play. we weren't sure, you know, in January things were just a little, you know, sketchy starting up because we weren't sure and they weren't sure how it all worked. And the progress they made, we thank the teachers profusely because the progress they made between January and the words of wisdom that we gave them, and when we heard them yesterday afternoon, and we're going to hear them again today as a final practice to warm up for tomorrow, we were astounded at the progress that they made, and we're going to have all seven groups play with us on stage tomorrow night.
It's fantastic.
What age kids are you working with?
Oh, middle schoolers. Primarily middle schoolers. I would say fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. Mm-hmm. I know. It's incredible how young they are.
And yeah. Go ahead, Maggie. Sorry.
I was just going to ask, what kinds of words of wisdom do you, you know, do kids get? What? How do you work with them? What do you say to them?
Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to walk the walk. You walk into the room and you have to play for them and show them what you can do. And mm-hmm. once you do that, once you've demonstrated that, okay, these people are for real. They know what they're doing and they like what they're doing. A lot of times people make the mistake of thinking you just have to do your job and walk away. You have to convince, especially young people, how enthusiastic you are. And it's really easy for me, as you can tell. This is something I really, really like to do. I've been doing it for three decades. And I tell them, you know, it's not about becoming professional chamber players. It's about when you're in that seat, doing your job to the very best that you can possibly do. And I think that's what's important for parents and teachers to know, that we're talking the same talk. So the wisdom is, these are the responsibilities that you bring, but also let's have a really good time while we're doing it. It disappears. The work part disappears and it becomes an activity that they have joy in. And, you know, we tell them anecdotes and things about what the quartet has experienced in the repertoire that we've played. We also tell them historical context, you know, where these, you know, this is a dance movement and this is how they danced and this is how the French and Germans did this, blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of things that go to coloring and rounding out the lesson. I think they're interested in that. These kids in Grand Rapids were interested in that.
Yeah, we actually when they were here in January, we had a really fun experience moving around to all the different elementary schools in the Grand Rapids area. And working with young students, you know, it's challenging to think of what are the right questions to ask them. But the quartet was asking each student group at each school, you know, what's the mood of this piece? If there's a word that you can think of, what's the right word? And just the vocabulary that we got from some of these elementary school students about these pieces, you can really tell. I'm really proud because it's one of the things that the Rife Center aims to do is you can tell that these young people in this community have access to arts and have an understanding of what the value, and it's been really powerful.
We've been, yeah, Katie, I totally agree. We've been doing this for a long time, as you can imagine, and we've seen lots of schools across the country, and I would say that Grand Rapids has some of the sweetest, brightest kids that we've seen around. Absolutely. She's not kidding. Some of the responses we had never heard before. I wish I could remember. It was in January that these responses happened, but it was like, wow. And we had them Everybody felt part of what was going on in each of these events, and that's one of the things that Artaria likes to do, to make sure that it's so inclusive, and no one feels like, well, I can't participate in that because I don't have a violin in my hand or a cello or whatever. And anyway, it was very nice to see their responses.
Grand Rapids is a tremendous community and a very strong supporter of the arts, but I would be remiss if I didn't say the following sentence: when are you coming to Bemidji?
Give us a call. We'll come up there. We'd love to. We're actually working on several grants. We're blessed in the state to have these wonderful legacy grants that sends people all over the place and makes things happen. And we're working on one in southwest Minnesota 2 years ago. This coming fall, if we get this grant, we'll be in southeast Minnesota. So Bemidji we're just working around the clock backwards here. So we got to get up there.
Ray, we got a question from a listener that wanted to know, again, the name of the song that we played just going into this piece.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about that.
This is a wonderful piece of music, probably one of the most well-known pieces, and it was composed right here in the United States, as a matter of fact, in Spillville, Iowa. It's the Dvorak American String Quartet. I think you played the slow movement, briefly what I heard in the opening. And it is, we actually have been to Spillville, Iowa. Every summer we take our summer camp there. I tell my colleagues, you know, we've been there every year. You think the kids would be bored? No. They love to go there because this is the actual little church that Antonín Dvořák, who's from Czechoslovakia, taught and worked at during the summer times, because he got homesick. He was teaching at the Juilliard School. It wasn't called that then, but he was teaching there as president when it first formed, and he would get homesick. So instead of taking the boat all the way back to Czechoslovakia or Europe, he would come out to Iowa and spend his summers. And he wrote the New World Symphony, the American Quartet, the American Quintet, and parts of several other sonatas based on the Hiawatha songs that we're all familiar with in this area. So,
what's coming up for the rest of the 2016 season for you all?
We have a very big season coming up for us in terms of celebrations. It's our 30th anniversary, so we are inviting back all or almost all that could make it of our former members of the quartet over 30 years, and they're going to play with us during the year next year. If you can imagine a logistical nightmare that this is.
Yeah, so much for quartet.
Well, we're going to be doing a quartet at the opening of each concert, and then we're going to do string sextets and string quintets. And, you know, they're flying in from Toronto Symphony, Houston Symphony, other ensembles. Because over the years, a quartet, you know, people's careers and their lifestyles, you know, cause them to have to do other jobs and things like that. So, you know, staying with a quartet for 30 years like Nancy and I have, it's a pretty rare event either way. So we're celebrating that during this. That's our big thing. And then the other thing is we're starting our newest cycle of performances. We completed the Shostakovich cycle 2 years ago, and we're going to start the Beethoven cycle next year. So we're going to have all kinds of Beethoven music to play. So we're excited about that.
Katie and Ray, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
Yep. That's Ray Shows and Katie Bennis. And for more information about the Artaria String Quartet, you can visit artariaquartet.com, or you can give us a call at 800-662-5799, especially if you want to know about the performances. The public performance tomorrow night at Itasca Community College is at 7:30 p.m.
About 25 minutes after 8, this conversation with Ray Shows and Katie Bennis has been part of Area Voices, telling the arts, cultural, and historical stories of northern Minnesota, and made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and made by the people of the great state of Minnesota. That's probably a good thing we started with the supersonic blues machine earlier on to wake everybody up. And now that they're awake, they can just enjoy...
Sit with that cup of coffee
Dvorak,
and enjoy the morning.